Praise the Lord. I welcome all of you in the name of Lord Jesus Christ. We will be looking into the third lesson on our subject homilies. I hope you are enjoying the subjects. Now, the very principles governing the introduction. Introduction prepares the audience for the body of the sermon. It arouses interest and captures attention as the sermon begins. Introduction is essential. Avoid lengthy introduction. It should be neither too long nor too short. Well begin is half done is good counsel on introduction. It may be called the crucial 5 minutes of the sermon. It should be simple and modest. A good introduction should introduce the main theme of the sermon. An introduction should not promise more than it delivers. The impact of the introduction may even shape the final effect of a message. The introduction will put the preacher and the audience in step with each other. Use creativity and variations. The introduction answers very listeners' unspoken question. Why should I listen to this message? The introduction to a sermon is like the prelude to a poem and the preface to a book. Ask the question, does the introduction actually and clearly introduce the theme of your message? But a word of caution, use homer carefully. If it directs attention to the idea, laughter serves a specialized tool. When it merely interacts, homer makes the sermon seem like a letdown. In facing a new audience, homer helps a speaker build a bridge, but too many jokes may cause them to write him off as a comedian. When homer is used, therefore, it should relate to the audience, to the minister or his message. Sometimes pre-introductory comments may be necessary. Ramesh Richard summarized the 4 goals of an effective introduction. 1. To get the attention of the audience. 2. To raise a pertinent need. 3. To orient the audience to the theme. 4. To state the purpose of the sermon. The great sermons of the Bible set examples of good introduction. Some of the reference, Acts 2, 14 to 21, 3, 12, 4, 8 to 9, 10, 34 to 35. Guidelines governing conclusion. The conclusion is just as important, perhaps even more so than the introduction. Plan your conclusion. Know when and where to stop and then stop. The conclusion should really conclude the message. Bring the message to a conclusion in such a manner that the people feel and nothing more needs to be said. Avoid prolonging your conclusion. Make the conclusion short, simple, clear, and specific. Do not add new materials while concluding. It should be pointed. It should be variant. Conclusion should be solemn enough to drive home the message. Direct the conclusion to challenge and to change. Do not give your conclusion before you get to the conclusion. Do not try multiple conclusions. Build the sermon to a climax and then conclude. The purpose of the conclusion is to recapitulate review, exalt, call, challenge, comfort, and to explain the major applicational truth of the sermon. All application should not be left to the end. It should be made as we move on. The conclusion has to prevail on people to take action. These six steps are, when we suggest six steps in the preparation or process of the sermon, there are six steps. Number one, select the text. Two, study the text. Three, focus on the big idea. Four, decide the purpose of the sermon. Five, outline the sermon. Six, add the introduction and a conclusion. The most important thing about the sermon still remains delivery or presentation, the actual preaching. But without good preparation, there is no good preaching. All our preparation have to be shocked in prayer. After the preparation and before the presentation, we need to pray over our message. The priority of prayer can never be minimized in expository preparation and preaching. Three other matters that are related to the preparation process. Title of a sermon. The design, structure or form of the sermon begins with the title, followed by introduction, body and conclusion. The title is an advertisement of a sermon. A good title captures the attention of the audience. A good title is always helpful and needed. But one does not have to spend too much time for title searching. Now, guidelines for choosing a title. Let the title reflect the main theme or content of the message. The title should not obscure the content. It should be simple and communicate well. It should serve the purpose of a title. The title should complement the message. The title should provide a good atmosphere to the sermon. A title could be put in the form of a question, a phrase, in terms of interesting topics, or it could be related to some special occasion. Illustrations. The main purpose of the illustration is to clarify the truth in the message. Illustrations are used to add light to the sermon, not length. Illustrations, though necessary, are secondary in importance. Some of the guidelines for illustrations. Illustrations should be used to explain, clarify, and validate the truth of the sermon. Illustrations help nail down a truth impressively. Illustrations render truth believable. Illustrations add our memory. Illustrations stir emotion and hold attention. Illustrations should clearly illustrate. Illustrations can present the truth without wearing the listeners. Illustrations should be understandable and make sense to the audience. Illustrations should be appropriate to the theme of the sermon. Illustrations should be convincing. Now, Epigibs quotes sevenfold purpose of illustrations. One, they assist argument. Two, they help the hearer to remember. Three, they stimulate the imagination. Four, they rest the audience. Five, they provide for various classes of heroes. 6. They bridge difficult places. 7. They enforce the truth. Now, too many illustrations may steal your time from the exposition. The very nature of expository preaching precludes too many illustrations. Exposition of the text is your main task. Where explanations are difficult, you need illustrations. Now, when we think about manuscripts and notes, it is always good to write down the sermon at the end of your study and preparation. It helps us to review and rethink the sermon, especially for the beginners in expository preaching. This is a very valuable exercise. We become thorough with the message by writing it down. In expository preaching, we should not read the manuscripts nor recall it from our mind after memorizing it. This is not the purpose of the manuscript in expository preaching. Even if we take the manuscripts to the pulpit, do not read it from the pulpit. You may occasionally refer to it. The main advantage of writing out the manuscripts is to internalize the sermon and to bring things into your memory. It will also enhance your confidence in the delivery. If you have the manuscript, you can add to it in the future, remove any material that is irrelevant, edit it and keep it for publishing. For the purpose of pulpit use in expository preaching, notes are far better than manuscripts. There can be no fixed rules for the use of manuscripts or notes. We should be careful to avoid extremes. Nevertheless, in expository preaching, notes are preferable to manuscript in the pulpit. Thank you for listening, and we will meet in the next lesson.